I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Driving into Gaza with the Israeli forces, it's a war zone. The conditions of our access only show officers, no faces of soldiers, and don't show sensitive equipment. We are passing mile after mile of destruction. Buildings blown, collapsed, nothing untouched by the fury of Israel's hunt for Hamas. Streets here, crushed back to sand.
Shops, everything that we see, no sign of any civilians here, and the soldiers have been telling us that even inside the stores, they've been finding things like rocket-propelled grenades ready to use against them as they were advancing through this area.
That is a CNN reporter who was escorted into a part of Gaza by the Israeli Defense Forces. Now, this often will happen in cases where reporters are allowed in under escort, one for protection, and secondly to give a clear picture, a vivid and truthful picture of what's happening. This CNN reporter, based on what you were hearing there, I wouldn't criticize what he's saying. But a little bit later, he's going to raise a question you're going to hear, and it just underlies, to me anyway, in the way he asked it, that he's suspicious of everything he's being shown, as if this was really as bad as it had to be. In other words, did you really have to pulverize the buildings? I'll get to that in more detail later. Hamas has taken an attitude and expressed it recently. We have a lot of civilians dying because Israel continues to pound Gaza with rockets and missiles, and they're killing innocent civilians. That's not the intent of Israel. They made it very clear. And they said, look, this can all stop if Hamas will release the hostages and surrender. Well, Hamas is not going to do that. And in fact, they will not let civilians leave some of the areas, or they shoot them in the back. They want their bodies there to blame on Israel and using their propaganda machine. And it's been working. It's been working in large part across this country. Well, today, of course, we had thousands upon thousands in the mall in Washington on behalf of Israel. I want to stress something to you that involves President Joe Biden on this. This March for Israel today, the organizer of it said, I personally invited the president to attend. But he didn't, which shows what? That he supports Hamas? Not necessarily. That he's anti-Israel? Not necessarily. But it does show weakness and lack of resolve when he insisted we will stand with Israel. His weakness comes within his Democrat Party and his progressives basically telling him, as they've already threatened, you're going to lose a lot of the Muslim vote. I took a look at the Muslim vote the other day, and it looks like it amounts to maybe 6 to 8% in the last election. It could be higher, depending on the stats. But let's just say it's not overly significant, unless it's a really tight race. But when Rashida Tlaib and Omar Ilan start saying, if you don't toe the PLO line, you will lose votes. And Biden just does not have the resolve to show up at the Support Israel rally. To me, that says everything. What about you? Thanks for joining us. Here we are, November 14, 2023. The second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back to back. And we're on the air for you, 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. If you miss anything, of course, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and get the audio and video, because we are streaming video while we're on the air at Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, on Rumble. Anywhere you find a platform you can use, we're welcome to have you, be it Facebook, Twitter, whatever you choose. And then I would ask and encourage you to share. I know a lot of you cannot listen to the entire program at this hour, maybe, and you certainly are not in a position to maybe watch from the studio, but I do encourage you to do it. I've had many people say, Larry, it's like watching you back on TV again, only now you can really speak your mind. Well, no one ever told me, I want to stress this, no one ever told me what I had to say as a news anchor. But I knew what the limits were as a news anchor, and that is, I don't put or interject my personal belief and feelings into a story unless I make it clear this is a commentary analysis. I was giving basic fact reporting. And to that extent, many, once they heard that I have this program and listened to it, said, I had no idea you were so conservative. Well, that's good. You shouldn't know what my politics were as a news anchor. But as host of this program, yes, I have an opinion. And as someone echoed the other day, and you express it, yes, I do. So what we have right now is every day Hamas is looking for another way to gin up more support for the PLO, and really not so much PLO, but what they've done, and deny the horrific attack on Israel and try to force Israel to stop shelling Gaza, stop hunting for the Hamas terrorists. They're not going to. And again, as always, Israel is accused of unnecessary violence.
Israel is facing massive international pressure over the destruction of homes, the shockingly high civilian death toll, and in the last few days, over its apparently heavy-handed tactics at hospitals.
We are searching the tunnels with the bulldozers to reveal the tunnels that we suspect that are underneath the hospital.
Gari has brought us here to show the connection he says exists between Hamas and the Rentisi Children's Hospital.
We're now here in an area between a hospital, a school, and a terrorist house.
A Hamas commander, he says, lived there. He points out the solar panels on the roof.
This is a tunnel that was slided like this, the floor. You can see here.
This is the ladder going down.
See the ladder going down.
I see the ladder going down.
Okay, this is a 20-meter tunnel. And look at here. Look at the tunnel. Be careful here. But look down here. The cables are going down to the tunnel. Okay?
So they're hardwired into the tunnel.
For what I wanted to show you, the solar panels on the terrorist house provide electricity directly to the tunnel. We've entered a robot inside the tunnel, and the robot saw a massive door, a door that is on the direction of the hospital.
So they knew the tunnel was going to lead to one of the hospitals. And Hamas was smart enough to get power delivered to the tunnel. But of course, if they're using solar power, because they knew fuel could be shut off and everything else, so they got a lot of sun, why not use that? Well, to run the power down to the tunnel, you simply follow the wire, you find Hamas terrorists and weaponry. But the CNN reporter that you were listening to as we began talking about being given the tour, if I'm going to be, gracious, he's asking the question just because he's trying to assure everyone that he's looking out for every angle of the story, but I'm telling you, in my viewpoint, and you can have your own viewpoint, you don't always have to follow me, I encourage you to have your own viewpoint, but the way he's questioning the IDF major, you get the impression that in his head, he thinks Israel really is responsible for a lot of over-punishment.
By bringing us here to this hospital and showing us the connection that you believe exists between the terrorists and the possibly hostages, what does this say about the other hospitals here in Gaza?
Cynically, Shifa Hospital is known by facts, by intelligence, to be a terrorist hub. And also, it's suspicious also in holding hostages. This is the best shelter for the terror war machine of Hamas.
But the hospital authorities said they have no knowledge of Hamas or other groups inside the hospitals. Is that possible?
I think it's not possible for an hospital to have this kind of an infrastructure. We knew the terrorists were here. We
How
knew.
Did you know?
We knew. By intelligence, and also we got some fire from this area.
From this area, this building?
From this area, and we were right to fire because what we found, an armory.
But so much damage all around here.
Yeah, there is damage all around here because Hamas made it impossible for us to fight him. He built all this infrastructure in tunnels and in hospitals around areas populated.
By civilians, because they wanted the Palestinian people, their own brothers and sisters, to suffer, to die at the hands of Israel trying to come after Hamas. As I said, I can be gracious and say, okay, the reporter's just asking adversarial questions. That's okay, but I just have an issue to some extent, and maybe I'm wrong. May never really know, but in my opinion, I think he's parroting some of the line and the allegations we've been hearing all the time. There was video that came out of Al-Shifa Hospital, the one that supposedly was hit by the Israeli rocket when, in fact, it was hit by a rocket fired by Hamas and it fell short or something went wrong and dropped into the hospital parking lot, and a massive explosion. Well, one, the rocket's still low with a lot of fuel. It didn't get near as far as it should have. And secondly, because when it did, it connected to some of those tunnels and munitions stored below, and it caused numerous additional explosions. The footage out of Al-Shifa Hospital, as you're going to hear narrated by a reporter, that was provided only because Hamas wanted this kind of video to get out to show how horrific conditions are in this particular hospital and blame Israel because it's so difficult for those in the hospital.
Filmed just a few days ago, this video, apparently shot inside Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, gives a sense of just how many people have been crowded inside. The World Health Organization says this is no longer a functioning hospital. It says there's no more fuel for generators, vital life-saving equipment is no longer working, and according to medical staff at the facility, dozens of newborns have now been removed from incubators and placed together on beds in the open. Israel's ground offensive has been moving ever closer to the gates of Al-Shifa Hospital in recent days, with the U.S. president joining the growing international calls for restraint.
Well, I have not been reluctant in expressing my concerns what's going on. And it's my hope and expectation that there will be less intrusive action relative to the hospital. The hospital must be protected.
That is your president speaking, our president. The hospital must be protected. He will not condemn Hamas for building its tunnels under there. And the question that was raised by the reporter earlier, well, how do you know that was there? As Quentin pointed out, because they live there. They know what's there. And the Israeli, the Palestinians who do live there, they know there are tunnels under there. They know it. They know they're being held up as shields. I want you to listen to another report involving the Israeli Defense Forces.
Israel's military has accused Hamas of using hospitals to hide command centers and weapons, and it's now released footage of what it says is a children's hospital in Gaza.
The tunnel is let down more than 20 meters down. The robot found a door that is bulletproof. It's explosive-proof.
Alleging Hamas had held hostages in rooms beneath the hospital.
We are now in the area of the basement of the hospital.
Along with a cache of weapons and explosives.
Inside the hospital. I want you to understand, this kind of gear is a gear for a major fight. These are explosives. These are vests with explosives. Yeah, it's a body vest. For terrorists to explode on forces, among hospitals, among patients.
And that was the intent. And again, the reporter, the way they're phrasing it and everything, almost as if, well, maybe Israel put a lot of these weapons down here. But Israel did not build all those tunnels since October 7th. Democrat Congressman Moskowitz of Florida, Jewish, just arrived back from Israel, went on MSNBC, and if they thought he was going to carry the carry the Hamas narrative, he did not.
Right now, unfortunately, in this country, on social media, our kids and us are being manipulated by a psyops by China and Russia, feeding us all sorts of pictures and imagery and fake propaganda on what's going on there. But the situation is extremely dire. Hamas is using that as a headquarters. Israel has tried to set up a field hospital, you know, tried to get the UN to work on it. That hasn't happened. Israel's tried to get, you know, people out of that. Hamas is making them stay at the point of gunpoint to create human shields. Hamas wants them to get killed. Hamas wants Palestinians to be killed and then to feed that propaganda. Hamas is not interested in winning the day-to-day war. They're interested in winning the propaganda war, which they are winning with the helps of China and Russia and the social media platforms.
And it is not just the social media platform. It is much of the so-called mainstream media in this country, or what I call the state-controlled media. But again, Florida Congressman Moskowitz is defending Israel.
Israel is doing what it can, but Hamas is turning things down. They're turning down incubators. They're turning down fuel, you know, to get to that hospital. And one of the things that's important here is that, listen, this is absolutely tragic. There are civilians absolutely getting killed. But the numbers that, you know, Hamas is releasing under the guise of the Gaza Ministry of Health, that number includes terrorists. That number includes Hamas terrorists that have been killed, thousands of them. So we're even being manipulated by the numbers. But there's no doubt that Israel has to do what it can to try to remove Hamas from the Gaza Strip and protect civilians.
And he's talking not just as a Jew, he's talking on common sense. Well, today we had Senators Lindsey Graham and Blumenthal introduce a joint resolution suggesting that if Iran gets involved and ends up attacking any of our troops in the region, there will be an escalation.
There's two things that could happen here that would expand this war. If Americans are killed by Iranian proxies in Syria and Iraq, we believe that would be a provocation deserving a military response. We've had over 50 American soldiers injured in Iraq and Syria since October the 7th by Iranian-backed proxies in Syria and Iraq. One of the fears is that Hezbollah could open up a second front in the north against Israel. They have hundreds of thousands of rockets, some are precision-guided. That would be a very bad situation for Israel. And what we intend to do is urge the administration to go to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is the Ayatollah and his henchmen. This religious theocracy is on a quest to purify Islam. That's why the Sunni Arabs feel so threatened. To destroy the state of Israel and come after us, America and others, who are infidels. If you don't believe me, listen to what they're saying.
Just listen to what they're saying. Debt to America. It's okay and interesting and nice, and I applaud the Senate bipartisan resolution. But why the hell are we not hearing such a direct message from the White House? Well, again, Biden won't even attend the March for Jews and Israel rally today. Coming up, the CDC is talking about more inspections getting on board a flight and the housing prices. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, S-T-O-W-L-O-C-H, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, every time you get a report on how inflation is doing, you do understand Bidenomics when they proclaim we're doing a good job. Those numbers are taking out core issues. That would be things that you definitely need. Gas, groceries. So if they're saying inflation is holding steady or even dropping a little bit, that's because they're not including the core things you need, gas, fuel of various types, and groceries. Right now, that's exactly the story we're getting. But we also know that the Fed has been raising rates and may do it again. And if you look at where Fed rates were in December 2020, they were under about 3% for a home mortgage. Now you're looking much higher. Joining us to give us more details, Christine Strait with Strait Realty. Christina, glad to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm
Thanks
great.
Thanks for having
and
me on.
Thank you. Well, in full transparency for the audience, obviously, Strait Realty is a sponsor, and Christina mm-hmm. and her husband and their family are friends of mine. I always want to be transparent with the audience, but I'm also calling her because of her expertise. Now, you, in dealing with home sales, right now with the Fed rates being going, as I said, they were back under 3%. Right now, it seems the fixed rates might be holding or shifting again. What's your conclusion?
Well, I just looked it up for a client of mine this morning. A 30-year fixed is 7.697, so effectively 7.7 for 30-year fixed. And, of course, that fluctuates throughout the day, and the lender can lock in, and there's a lot of different options that they can do. But, I mean, these higher interest rates have definitely put a hamper on the real estate market. And it's a phenomenon we haven't seen in a really for as long as I've been a broker. I've never seen what we're experiencing right now in the real estate market. The majority of homeowners right now that have a mortgage have an interest rate of less than 4%.
Yeah.
So that it really squeezes the market. People are not wanting to put their home on the market because of that fact. I mean, unless they have to move, if it's a desire move, for instance, let's say they want to upgrade. It's going to be hard for somebody to want to upgrade from a, 3.5% interest rate or lower and walk into a more expensive property. You need more money down and your interest rate is going to be higher. So those people are holding in their house and they're not moving. And the buyers that are out there that have to move for whatever reason, can't find anything. Inventory is pretty low. So that it's a weird market for sure.
Well, now, and before all this happened, before it began to flip flop and the Fed began to squeeze down because of inflation growing, and I'm not going to try to put you in a political box on it, but I'm just talking about the numbers. It was a seller's market. I mean, folks, houses were going at big, hot prices because he could get such a low interest rate. But as you say now, it's up to now they can't get it, partly because the owners, if they don't have to move, they don't want to jump into a higher interest rate from what they've got.
Yeah, but you are still seeing, it has cooled down to the frenzy that we saw the last couple of years since COVID, where you would have, 13 offers on a property and it would go $100,000 over asking and waiting on contingencies. You don't see that as much, but you do see a lot of buyers trying to vie for the same property. But buyers are a little bit more savvy now. They're thinking, okay, I'm not going to go in blind and just give away everything just to get into this house. They understand a little bit more about the price point, and they're willing to wait if they're able to. But if there's a property that is completely updated and priced right in an area that people want to go and live and have their kids go to school there, then you will see multiple offers on that property.
And if the owner, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Well, and if the owners have their property paid off, there, it doesn't make a difference what they were paying on interest rate. They've paid it off, so anything they've got they can put away. Unless they're going to buy another property, then they're going to be paying up that interest rate. I'm looking at a report from, let me see the source. Let me give it to you. I don't want, never like going without. This is from, your National Association of Realtors, showing that the since September 2023, this last September, sales are going up in the Northeast, but receding in the West, Midwest, South, and West. All of them registering year-over-year sales declines. So it's not just the Midwest. It's apparently all across the nation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is a phenomenon that's hitting everybody. Now, you will have some pockets of the country that are kind of a phenom, right? Washington, D.C. always, not to get too political, but Washington, right. D.C. always is a hot market in any economy.
Well, there's a turnover because congressmen are only going to be there for a while, and our senators and many are having that plus another house. Go ahead.
Exactly. And all the sludge of people that support government, too, that move in right. and move out, and the lobbyists and all that, too. But obviously, we're not in that market. St. Louis, we actually, in September, we had an increase in closed sales, but a decrease in pending sales. So what that tells us is that there were properties that went under contract in the summer months, which is normal, and then they closed in September. But then people purchasing and placing contracts on properties in September decreased. And that gives us an indication that this winter and the following Q1 or quarter one of next year will be slow.
So what does that say about rentals?
Rentals, interestingly, in a normal market, when you have a high price of homes for sale, maybe the rental market will... when you have a lot of people purchasing property, you might have fewer people renting property. But in this market, it's opposite. And it's a weird market. Again, you have low inventory in the sale portion, and you have really high inventory or low inventory and a lot of buyers, potential or renters in the rental market. So rent is really high. It is driving the price of rentals in an historic high.
Yeah, and they've got to balance in their own mind, do I want to pay this all in a writ, though I get nothing in return and have no equity, or do I go ahead and bite the bullet? Let me take a quick look at it from two views. First, as the home property owner thinking about selling, do it now or wait and watch the rates, or for the home seller?
It really depends on the situation. I would say the inventory is so low. I would say if you're able to sell now and put your property on the market, do it. But you should have a professional come over and realistically tell you what you should list your property for, and also realistically tell you what you need to do to your home. Sellers right now, they're still living in the fantasy of a couple years ago, and they're thinking, oh, my house is worth blank amount, when it really could not be. Buyers, like I said before, are getting more savvy. And if your house is priced really high, but the condition of the property doesn't reflect that high price point, then it's probably going to sit on the market. And you are seeing that. You are seeing properties sit on the market because sellers are too stubborn in the price point, and buyers are not, they're not going to give them what they want because it just doesn't work out in the numbers for them. It's already priced too high. Interest rates are high, so a buyer isn't going to overpay for it.
You're listening to Christina Strait of Strait Realty. So that was my next issue, looking at from the other side, from the buyer's point. Would you really call it a buyer's market then at this point? Because if there's nothing available.
It's kind of both. Okay. It's kind of both. And that's why I was saying a professional can help guide you and tell you. Each house is going to be an individual in its own. And that professional realtor can come in and say, hey, look, you need to do A, B, and C. I always advise my sellers to always look at it through a buyer's perspective. Always. That's where you're going to build your strategy on how you build your price point, how you list your property, what repairs, if any, you should do, what updates. Maybe I ran an appointment in Wildwood yesterday, and she asked me to come over because she knows she has to do things to her house. So she asked me to come and say, A, B, and C, you need to paint, you need to replace the carpet, you need to do these things in order to get it ready to maximize a gain in the spring. But that's just her life. That's where she's at. I've also had clients that need to sell right away. And so I advise them what they need to do in a quick amount of time to hopefully yield the greatest amount of profit when they go to market.
And there wasn't too long ago that offers were being made with no contingency. Just would pay whatever you got just to get in. But that has changed.
Yes. It has changed. We do see it every now and again, but it's not as frequent as it was before.
Now, one other thing about as far as property owners, that if they're looking to sell, obviously you mentioned things that they need to, sometimes their bubble needs to be burst, I assume, that your property is not going to be worth that much, and you're going to have to do this and this and this, and you're going to have to make a decision at that point. Do you want to do it? And what's the response for many when you say, you're way off mark?
Well, it depends on the client. it depends on the seller, obviously. A lot of sellers think they know, and you know, they may have sold one in the last 10 years, but I've sold over 2,000. So I know exactly what I'm talking about when I walk in and say, you need to do this, that, and the other. Sellers that listen to their neighbors or a third party kill, like a relative who may think they know it all.
Right.
But I usually tell them that point blank. I tell them to their face. I'm like, look, I appreciate your experience, but I don't go walking into your place of business and telling you how to do something just because I have a mild interest in what you do.
Yeah.
You're the professional, and I trust you. And it's the same. You have to trust me. What I'm telling you is for your best interest, because I want you to yield the most amount. I want you to make the most amount when you sell your house.
All
I'm
right.
not just walking in just to have you spend money needlessly.
Before I let you go, and in the last 30 seconds or so here, I just learned the other day that you're a professionally trained opera singer.
Well, I went to college for it, and it just turned out not to be my passion, and my passion was business, and I found myself going that direction and became a business owner, which I love.
Well, we're glad to have you on board, Larry Connors USA. And again, for the audience, Christina Strait, Strait Realty, they are a sponsor. I never try to hide anything like that from you, but good, solid information, Christina. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, I pay more than four, and have a great day.
Thank you. Coming up, the airline CDC could be a big problem for you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter @LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, here we go again. Maybe. I tell you, when I first saw this story yesterday, I thought, this is not going to go well with a lot of folks. Let me break it down for you. Here's the way the story reads. I believe this was an AP story, maybe a combination with AP and Reuters. Yeah, Reuters did contribute to it. It reads, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, yeah, that group that you suddenly no longer trust, and that's a shame, isn't it? Isn't it a shame that you cannot trust the CDC, our National Health Institute, all because of what happened with COVID and the lies that were peddled and the controls that were forced onto people? Suddenly there's this suspicion that, well, whatever they recommend, I'm not even going to accept it. We really need to have, as they were always insisting, science. But then it became political science. And then it became political BS. And I have a BS degree, and I know exactly what it means as well as you do. Anyway, the sentence begins, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will increase its airport surveillance for respiratory infections. That is a statement from the federal agency and a private partner, the private partner being Ginkgo Bioworks, said it is expanding its work with CDC's traveler-based genomic surveillance program to, quote, test for more than 30 additional priority pathogens in addition to SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. It then described the program as, and here's where it really begins to get waffly, and we'll see how quickly they restructure the wording. They describe it as flexible, multimodal platform that consists of three complementary approaches of sample collection from arriving international travelers at U.S. airports. This means if you fly to Rome for a trip and you're coming back, it affects you. If you fly to Mexico, Cancun, you come back, it's going to affect you. In other words, basically, sample collection from arriving international travelers at U.S. airports, including voluntary nasal swabbing. Voluntary. That's in there now, so far. They will include voluntary nasal swabbing, aircraft wastewater, and airport wastewater sampling to enhance early detection of the new SARS-CoV-2 variants and other pathogens and fill gaps in global surveillance. So they're going to be testing for multiple influenza strains, various RSV strains, respiratory, so forth. Neither this group nor the CDC listed any others. But they say the expansion of the traveler-based genomic surveillance program to flu, RSV, and other pathogens is essential as we head into fall respiratory season. The program, which began during the COVID-19 pandemic, acted as an early warning system to detect new and rare variants of the virus and will do the same this time around, according to Dr. Cindy Friedman, chief of the CDC Travelers Health Branch. Now, again, the Travelers Program was first introduced in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic to detect COVID-19 variants and other pathogens via the nasal swab and wastewater collection sampling. Now, if it's going to be a voluntary nasal swab, we'll find out how quick this answer will be answered for you. Say you fly back from a trip to Cancun, and you arrive at one of the airports where they're doing this. And I'll give you the list of the airports that are on there now because it's not everywhere. Supposedly going to be all flights would come in from international at your origin of that airport. Voluntary swabbing. If they say, we gave you a swab, did you? No, didn't do it. It says voluntary, not going to. What do you think happens then? They've got your name, your age, your gender, even if you check other, your address, everything else about you. What are they going to do with that information? Because you decided, I don't want to volunteer to do this. And, of course, they're checking the wastewater in the aircraft. And if they find something in there, and all the other folks that did voluntarily give swabs, nasal swabs, probably not everyone will, but those that did, well, they didn't show anything that they need to be worried about on their swabs, so they're going to concentrate on those who did not voluntarily swab their noses because they found something in the wastewater. Somebody did it. Come on, somebody did it. Somebody did that number two or number one, and you know you got something and you're not swabbing. We're going to come find you. Maybe. Am I going too far with this? On one hand, I'd say, yeah, Larry, you're getting a little conspiratorial. You're getting a little paranoid. But, after what we dealt with COVID-19, the lockdowns, the government control, the mask on the planes, the mask in the airport, isolation steps, you have to stay behind in line a certain... They had no basis of fact for any of it. And the bottom line is the masks were not doing the job anyway. And even if you had a full, top-notch medical mask, that also was not going to be that effective. Dr. Friedman with the CDC told CNN, one sample from an aircraft coming from a geographic destination from afar can give us information potentially about 200 to 300 that were on that plane. Now, that's the other part of it. If they find anything, even if you test negative at that point, they're going to want to know, well, what else is going on in those who were on board the plane? They say they're launching this at New York's JFK Kennedy International Airport, San Francisco International, Boston Logan International, and Washington Dulles International. And again, this has to do with international travelers. So far. Now, according to the CDC, the data they're providing, The rate of hospitalizations have declined in recent weeks since late summer. For the week of ending October the 28th, hospitalization, death, COVID-19 positivity rates have essentially remained steady, but emergency room visits have also declined. In September, the agency said for the fall and winter season, hospitalizations will go up for COVID-19, RSV, and influenza. And, of course, you're seeing that being pushed everywhere, that you should probably get all three of these shots. Now, that's going to be up to you so far until the government decides otherwise. And they even use my favorite phrase here, and I'm reading the copy. So far, Larry, no, so far, only 7% of Americans have received the shot and the updated boosters and so forth. Polls suggest that more and more Americans are increasingly wary of the shots. I wonder why. A poll from the Policy Center with the University of Pennsylvania and the Chinese-funded Biden group. Now, I just threw that in. It has nothing to do with it. But it is the University of Pennsylvania, found that about 63% of Americans think that getting the COVID-19 vaccine is safer than getting the virus itself. That's a drop of 12 points from April 2021, when 75% believed that. It also found Americans who view the shot as unsafe increased from 18% back in August to now, in 2022, I should say, August 2022, to now 24%, just last month, believe that the shot is not that safe anyway. And meanwhile, here's the other crush critical point for many. The percentage of Americans who back using ivermectin, a drug that was often demonized by media outlets and even some federal officials to treat COVID-19, is up 10% in September. And in fact, from September 2021 to just last month, it's actually up 26% in that period of time. I know those are a lot of numbers there, but the bottom line gets to, they're saying again here, as the federal government did lift its three-year-long public health emergency over COVID-19, it did lift its rule requiring non-U.S. citizens or even permanent residents show proof of COVID-19 vaccination. Remember, you had to have the little card. Had to have it with you if you're going to travel. Show that you've gotten it. And before any visitor to the U.S. had to receive the vaccine before getting on a flight to the U.S. and would have to be tested for the virus beforehand. And you could get tested a certain period of time before you got on your flight. If you tested positive, then you had to stay in the country until you could prove that you were no longer infected based on the test. Let me remind you, my position is all about you and your family. You make the decision based on you and your family as to what you think you should do or don't want to do. The problem we got into last time is the government began to decide we can control this, we can enforce it. Schools began to crack down on it. Unions for the teachers were cracking down, saying we're not even going to show up for work unless this met and this met and this met. And all this COVID money got dumped all around the nation. And a lot of it went into graft and corruption. We'll never get all of it back. We'll never get everyone that took part in it. Just the other day, a prosecutor in Baltimore, I could be wrong about that, but a ranking official in Baltimore convicted on taking COVID funds and so forth and buying not one but two homes. And how many companies have abused their claims? And in the meantime, the American public was locked down, jobs lost, never to be regained again, businesses shut down, losing what they had. This time around, the public is going to be more reluctant. I would think so. Of course, we have this pressing issue in the Middle East. I want you to hear from an Israeli minister. He did an interview with Fox. He said, I hear all the cry about what Israel is doing and doing wrong, and it needs to pause the shooting, and it needs to have a ceasefire. He said, where is anyone asking what is Hamas doing? That Israeli minister raises that question.
Took hostages, 239 to count today, that we have no idea what's happening to them. 4 months old babies, over 30 children under the age of 16, abducted and held hostages. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they are. On the plane here to the United States, I spent some time with one of the fathers that his son is a hostage. He has no clue if he's alive, if he's healthy. Where's Red Cross? Where's the world asking, pushing Hamas, ISIS to give us answers, humanitarian answers? Where are the 239 hostages?
Yeah, no one is demanding that Hamas give any update and condition report on them, other than those who are concerned about the hostages. Those who are all about PLO having its own state and from the river to the sea, wiping out Israel, they're not raising word one about the hostages. And they really don't want the bombing to continue in Gaza, reducing it to more rubble. But there's only one way to get to those tunnels, because they're built under civilian populations and under hospitals. And as I pointed out at the beginning of today's program, President Biden invited to attend the March for Israel rally held in D.C. Basically, thanks but no thanks. I got more important things to do, a nap or whatever. And don't forget, the only thing he's taken direct action on, other than sending the carrier groups into the Mediterranean, I can applaud that, have them ready. I don't want boots on the ground, and neither do you. But if this thing expands rapidly, we need to be ready. So that I will applaud. But the other thing that he did, which probably, again, ticked off Kamala more than even being appointed the ambassador to oversee the border, because she did such a great job at that, and is, right, is give her in charge of dealing with reports of Islamophobia attacks. Nothing about anti-Semitism, but let's worry about Islamophobia. By the way, if you missed the first hour, shame on you, but I understand. Sometimes there are other things you've got going on. You can always pull it up and listen to it. And I was mentioning then about the Formula One race scheduled this weekend in Vegas, and how I'd been thinking about going. And I might still, if the guy gets things put together, we won't. But the hotels are seeing the prices they wanted. No one wants to pay them. They've been slashing rates 60 to 80%. Those who live in Las Vegas and work at the casinos and resorts, they're ticked off because they cannot get easily to their place of employment. They have to gather at a place for a shuttle that goes only 3 or 4 times a day. That's how they get to and from work. And the prices of just watching the race, if you're going to get a grandstand seat at the Mirage, VIP grandstand seat for 3 days, $4,000. $4,000. My co-producer Quentin pointed out, he said, you can go to Monte Carlo and get grandstand for $700, did you say? $800? $1,800? $1,800. I kept finding a way to see if we could lower it. We were in a bidding war. You weren't helping me out. But I don't know how many have already bought those grandstands for $4,000. They're going to see someone else sitting next to them. I got mine for $49.99. Oh, are people going to be ticked off then? I don't know if I'm going to go or not. But I do remind you of our pledge. And this is always important. It's part of our pledge to our flag and our nation every day. It always ends, as you know, the same way as it should be, God willing, forever. One country under God.